Hey guys, welcome back to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. How is everyone doing during this fine cancer season? I know I'm doing great. I fucking love cancer season. Speaking of it, I have one of my favorite cancers co-hosting with me today, and I think I'm going to have him co-host for the remainder of cancer season. I think it's only fair and appropriate. So you guys, let's welcome Jay.
Hey everyone.
So I want to have you on for the remainder of cancer season.
Wow.
I think that it's only right. Because I'm still not 100. Mm-hmm. I'm 95% better. Mm-hmm. We talked about my sleep patterns before. We talked about me only sleeping 2 hours for the last month.
Yeah.
And I usually sleep anywhere from 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. My sleep patterns were actually realigned and kind of adjusted over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get into that. Mm-hmm. So I had the absolute honor and pleasure of accompanying one of my good friends, well, one of our good friends, mm-hmm. Annabelle DeSisto, host of Adderall and Compliments, to Vegas this weekend. Mm-hmm. She had a meetup with her group out there, and it was a couple of the girls' birthdays, so she purchased tickets to Thunder from Down Under and asked if I wanted to go.
Of course you're going to go.
Of course. I was like, anytime that I can spend good quality time with you for more than a couple hours, I'm fucking down for it. So we can have a girls' night, we can have gossip, we can fucking eat, we could be fat, we can just do us in the comfort of just us. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go. So we ended up leaving. I think we left at 2:30. We landed in Vegas around 3:30.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. She went all out. We went through JetSuite X. Mm-hmm. I've never been on that airline before. It was fabulous. It was amazing. The fucking jet literally pulls right up to you in the hangar. You don't have to go through any of that fucking bullshit. You just fucking walk on a plane. That is it. Had I have known that, JetSuite X, cover your ears for this. Had I have known that they were going to check the bags and that it was going to be that fucking simple and that kind of, I'm going to say posh, at least for me it was, I would have brought my fucking weed with me. Because I had asked you to roll me 4 joints. I'm like, I'm going to go do Vegas with Annabelle and I want to have some fun and I want to, you know, just relax and unwind. Why don't you roll me 4 joints? Mm-hmm. And you were like, no way.
Yeah, because I thought you were going through like a regular airline, like airport.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I thought so too. Mm-hmm. Remember when you dropped me off, they were like, oh no, you have to go down. It's like another quarter of a mile to a different hangar. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck, okay. And then when I pulled up there, I was like, this is different or whatever. It's kind of like a little valet service up front. And then they check you in or whatever. And they walk you to the lounge where there's like coffee and all kinds of shit there for you to fucking do. Mm-hmm. There's like a foosball table and like all kinds of things that you could fuck around with in there. I was like, holy shit, this is fucking nice. And so I was regretting it. I was like, fuck, I don't have any weed. Like, if I would have known that, I would have brought, like, a couple of bowlfuls or at least a couple of joints with me, like I said before, to take on the plane with me. So we get on the plane. Annabelle shows up. She is looking fabulous as usual, and she has this little purple bottle with her. I'm like, what are you doing? Because I wasn't paying attention. I was on my phone kind of going on Instagram and kind of taking pictures of the JetSuite.
You're living it up.
I was fucking loving it. I was like, I was blasting that shit. I was like, this is fucking amazing. I was so happy. It was really, really nice. So she's sitting there. I look over, and she's swigging something, and she's got a tiny little flask with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I started fucking dying. So she started drinking right away. We get on the plane, and it's small. I was kind of worried about like how it was going to be, but it was fine. We get into Vegas and immediately, first things first, let's go get some weed. We jumped in the fucking Uber. We went to this dispensary out there because it's legal in Vegas to smoke pot just like it is out here. Uh-huh. So I went to this dispensary. It looked like the fucking Costco of dispensaries. It was fucking big. It was huge. It was fabulous. Walked in there, got 4 joints. You're going to fucking die when I tell you how much they were.
How much was it?
I got 4 Primo joints. I got 2 sativas and 2 indicas. Uh-huh. Sativa for the day and indica at night. You know, I like try to relax. It was $118.
Jeez.
I know, for 4 fucking joints. I was like, I could have bought like fucking 2 eighths and 2 joints over here at the place that we go to.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's Vegas. You just have fun or whatever. So I get the weed. I get back in the Uber. We head back to the hotel. We are both fucking starving by this point. Neither one of us had eaten anything. We had drank a couple of margaritas that were so fucking strong on the plane. So we were kind of like, our stomachs were burning. And we were like, we need food. So I was like, let's just order room service. Not do anything crazy or whatever. Let's just go relax. We'll take our clothes off and we'll just chill in the fucking room and do us. I'll order room service. We'll watch TV and just hang out. She's like, okay. Because the show was going to start at 6:30. We landed at 3:30. So we only had a couple hours to do mm-hmm. us. And I really wanted her to unwind and I wanted to take care of her. You know, I'm always taking care of my girls.
Yeah.
And so I wanted her to have a good time and I wanted her to relax because she really does put on a performance when she goes. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so lively and she's so funny. So we ordered room service and I'm a fucking dog. I was going to take advantage of it because you weren't there to tell me, no, you can't eat that or don't do that or whatever. So I ordered a $25 shrimp cocktail and then I ordered chicken strips and fries.
So shrimp cocktail And chicken strips
and fries. But I originally wanted to order a club sandwich and have them add avocado on there and also a side of fries. And I wanted extra mayonnaise on the club and a side of mayonnaise and ranch dip my fries in. I know, horrible. But I was like, I can't be a dog in front of Annabella because, you know, I'll go to town on that shit. I was good for the most part. She had a pizza and some fries. And we just chilled out. We watched TV and we hung out for, you know, like an hour. I smoked some weed. She was drinking. And we just gossiped and had a good time. We caught up or whatever. Before you knew it, it was like time to get ready for the show. She fucking killed it in her outfit. Originally, she was going to wear a red dress.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking, I mean, her boobs were amazing in it. I was like, holy shit. And then she didn't like it. She was like, oh, I don't know about it, whatever. Maybe it's a bit much. She's like, I'm not familiar. Even though I'm gay, some of the shit I don't know. Like, there's this tape that you're supposed to put on the dress. It's supposed to cling it to your tits or your skin or something so it doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And she was having a hard time with it. I was like, if your fucking tits weren't so
used to that?
No, I've never. I don't.
Oh, you don't
wear dresses. You dumb. Shut up. My tits aren't that big. But yeah. So she ended up killing it in this white two-piece dress. It was so fucking cute. And we went to the show. I met the girls. There was 9 total. There's 11 of us total. So that's 9 of those girls plus me and Annabelle. They were all amazing. They were all fun to hang out with. The show, on the other hand, was a different story. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be plus more. Some of the guys are hot. Some of the guys look a little long on the tooth, like they've been doing it for some time. No disrespect, but I had an amazing time. They were funny. It was a good show. We ended up not sticking around afterward because, you know, me and her,
mm-hmm.
we got to get the fuck home. We're like, we need to be back in our element. We need to decompress and fucking relax. We can only do this for a certain amount of time. So we said bye to the girls. We ended up dipping out and went back to the room. I smoked more weed. I know I had to. But you know what? We had drinks and we weren't able to get drunk.
I think
she hardly ever drinks. And she had more to drink than I did, and she wasn't even buzzed. She's like, I don't feel this. Well, neither do I.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so let's just go back and fucking relax. We did that. And you know what I watch before I fall asleep?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'm going to lay down, love. She's like, you feel free to watch whatever you want. So I'm just going to lay here. If I fall asleep, I fall asleep. I'm like, okay. And she's like, you can have the TV on, whatever. She's like, sleep through anything. I'm like, okay. So she starts to get comfortable, whatever. She puts the blankets over her head. She starts to get cozy. And I put on Forensic Files. And this is the first thing she heard as she's falling asleep.
A young college girl was driving alone late at night on a California freeway, and something went terribly wrong.
I have never seen somebody perk up so fast in my entire life after hearing that. She jumped up and she was like, what the fuck are you watching, Chris? And I was like, I'm watching Forensic Files. She's like, this is what you really watch when you go to sleep. She's like, I thought you were just making that shit up. I was like, no, this is what I watch to decompress. She's like, that's fucking horrible. So you think she's going to go to bed, right? I am paying attention to the show. I'm not paying attention to her. I'm watching it. I look over and she's sitting up like a 7-year-old girl with her eyes bigger than mine, bulging out of the sockets, her mouth hanging open, and is intrigued by what she is watching. And I was like, are you watching this? And she's like, yeah, I want to know what happens to the girl. I fucking died. I was laughing. I could not stop laughing. I was busting up the entire fucking time. It was just, again, I had so much fucking fun. So let me get to the sleep patterns real fast. I'm going to breeze right through this. So I didn't end up sleeping the entire night because of your stupid ass being inside my head with my snoring.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to doze off. I had propped myself up nice and pretty with the pillows and was watching TV. And I was like, I'll fall asleep while watching TV. I caught myself snoring. It was like a... And I was like, fuck. Because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of Annabelle. Let me just tell you something, you guys. For those of you that want to know how Annabelle sleeps that night, still as hell. I would not have known that she was alive until I heard her either make a slight breath sound and a light snore. She snored a little bit because she was tired.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. And so I was like, fuck, I can't sleep. If I end up snoring and she wakes me up because I'm snoring so loud, I'll never live it down. So I stayed up.
Yeah, you snore pretty loud. I can hear you through the walls.
That's enough. We're on a show. I don't want people to know. Yeah. So I was worried about that. So I ended up staying up the entire fucking night and not going to sleep out of fear that I was going to snore. I know that's horrible, but I just had to.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get any sleep, and we had to leave the next morning at 8:30 in the morning. So which means with two women, you got to be up at 6 o'clock because we fucking dawdle. We don't get dressed right away. We're still walking around, scratching our asses and fucking, you know, looking at ourselves in the mirror and just trying to get up and trying to get with it here. So I gave us a 2-hour leeway. We went to the airport, boarded the plane at 8:30. We landed by like 9:30 and I slept for the remainder of the day.
Yeah.
And all night long. Like, that's exactly what I needed. A full day up
Just to get your...
Just to get my sleep pattern. Yeah. So I want to thank you, my love, Annabelle DeSisto, for bringing me back to a good night's sleep and having such an amazing time in Vegas. And shout out to the kittens that were there in Vegas. Shout out to Maria and Woody. I don't remember all the rest of the girls' names. They were all fun. They were all fabulous. We had an amazing time. But Maria was the one that I was hoping to meet in person because I had read her before. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Prentice had read her too. And we both love her. She's just a great girl. And she's so fucking beautiful. Shout out to you, Maria, because in your pictures, you're beautiful in your pictures. But in person, it's a whole other story. I was just like, oh my God, she's so cute or whatever. She wore this cute little pink dress. Well, enough. I'm fanning over this girl. But I had an amazing fucking time. I am wanting to do this again, but I want to bring a couple extra girls for a two-night stay in Vegas.
So a proper girls' night?
A proper girls' night. And I'm thinking I want Hannah Brown for sure, because that's entertainment. Mm-hmm. She's going to have me fucking... I mean, I'll probably shit my ass out because she's going to have me cracking up so bad. Definitely Annabelle DeSisto, and we'll throw a wild card in there. Mm-hmm. Someone that's going to really do us in, which is Brandi Celestino. I think that would be so fucking fun.
Oh, jeez.
I know, Vegas will never fucking be the same again. So shout out to you, Annabelle. Love you, girl. All right, you guys, let's jump into today's episode. I got so much that I want to go over. So I had posted something on IG, I think it was a couple of days ago, where I was talking about making sure that you're progressing forward and not going backwards, not falling into old patterns or repeating old habits and things like that. I do readings left and right all day long. You guys know this. I tell you guys this all the time. And when somebody is starting off and they're really, really getting into the habit of changing the way that they've been thinking for so long and really, really trying to come out of an old way of thinking, 9 out of 10 times, the person will fall back. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to you guys before, that the devil's always in the details. You will always be tested with your patience, your temper, what it is that you're putting out there. This is the first thing that I tell you. So get ready for that, because that is going to happen. And a lot of times people, what they do is they always fall back and they go back to what they know. Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's easier for you to go back to what you know than to talk yourself out of it and keep moving forward here, because it's hard. It's unknown. You don't know what to expect. You don't know if you're doing this and you're going to make an ass out of yourself at the end. A lot of people do that. They're like, what if I do this and it doesn't work out? What if I change my way of thinking and nothing happens? Mm-hmm. Why would you say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're really hell-bent on changing your way of thinking and wanting to change your life, your path, or your direction there, you have the power to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw a couple people under the bus here. I'm not going to name any names, but this goes along with what I've been saying the entire time that I've been doing this podcast, which is practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people talk a big fucking game that they're ready to make the change, that they learn their lessons, that they're not the same person anymore, they're ready for love, or they're ready to step out and be more confident mm-hmm. within themselves. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's all fine and dandy. I never want to take away your confidence or what you think about yourself during a session, or just even like having a conversation with you, mm-hmm. because that's how you are feeling. I wouldn't want somebody to come in here and throw rain on my parade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but I can look at the person. I'm like, that's fine and dandy. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, the real test will be, like I said before, when opposition comes into play here and how you handle it. Mm-hmm. So a friend that will remain nameless ended up getting involved in a new relationship and is really, really happy in this relationship. Mm-hmm. Really happy. I have never seen her smile as big as she smiled the last time that we saw her, explaining this new romance mm-hmm. and all the good stuff. And I was like, that's great. And I had told her, you know, I believe what you're saying. I keep it real with this one. But again, make sure that you don't fall back into repeating old patterns or habits. And the first thing I got was, oh, Christopher, I'm past that. I'm past that. I'm like, okay. This is not shit talking. And so I hadn't spoke to her in a couple of weeks after that. And I get a text message from her spiraling out of control because she made a mistake. Mm. There was a issue with communication with her and her new dude.
Yeah.
Okay. And he failed to text message her when she got back home. And she flipped out. And I think she went in on him or whatever. So she texted me the next day to ask me what I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, love, you're not that person anymore. Like, you need to allow yourself the opportunity to fully let go and to experience what you are experiencing without bringing in your past. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. I said, remember when I told you, you better make sure that you are ready to get in this relationship before you do it. And you'd been asking me, when is a relationship going to happen? When is this going to happen? When is it, Chris? When is it? And I said, you are not ready. And person kept telling me, yes, they were. Yes, they were. And the minute opposition comes into play, they lose sight of everything. It brings back old wounds and opens up old scars. Mm-hmm. But that's an illusion. and you guys are going to think I'm crazy by saying that, that is no longer a valid feeling. That is what you're used to feeling and what you're used to knowing. You went through all the work, you did the meditation, you did the self-healing, you did the self-love and self-care. Practice what you preach. Make sure that you are fully in control of yourself during this relationship. Remember, you will be tested. It's how you react that makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And I said, this person has never given you any reason not to trust them. You are bringing in what you had in a past relationship, the fears and insecurities from that person, into this relationship, and it's not fair for you, and it's definitely not fair for him. Snap the fuck out of it. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I said. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're right. So I had told her, I said, love, you are not that same person. That is in the past. Leave it where it's at here. Yes, it hurts you. I'm not telling you to forget about it. But at the same time, don't bring it with you in a new relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not who you are anymore. In the way that you reacted before, give yourself the opportunity to take a step back, take a deep breath and say, no, not doing it again this time. Mm-hmm. Really, really prepare yourself for this relationship. Don't self-sabotage out of fucking fear. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's true. Like, you can gain all the experience, but it changes when you're being tested at the same time. Because you can talk all, you know, I've changed, I've done this, I've done that. But until you actually, like, experience it again, it's a whole different story.
Exactly. I really, really love this girl with all my heart. And I just, again, I know that she has it in her. And history is a pain in the fucking ass, especially when you've been hurt. I mean, we've talked about my relationships before, the guy that I was dating that really did a number on my psyche when it came to my image and the way that I look and dress and stuff, that to this day, I'm working through it, mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit more comfortable looking in the mirror now than I was before. It's damaging. Mm-hmm. It's really, but again, at the same time, at what point do you pick up your pants, buckle them all up, belt yourself in, and start walking, mm-hmm. fixing yourself up again? Getting back into the game, healing your mind, healing your heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to, you can't hide from love forever. And you can't, the minute that somebody does something that you don't approve of or that hurts you, you can't take it so personal, especially if it's not done in a malicious way. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is you're making a problem out of nothing. This person has no idea. Remember, you are a fucking adult. You're not a child. Mm-hmm. You should not have to be watched over, or your feelings shouldn't have to be taken into consideration every second or minute of the day. You are an adult with an adult fucking mind and an adult way of fucking thinking. Start acting like it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to be babied, and people shouldn't have to walk on eggshells out of fear they're going to hurt your fucking feelings. Grow the fuck up and snap the fuck out of it. Mm-hmm. Again, I know that sounds shitty, but at what point do you change your life around? At what point do you decide that enough is enough and that you want your happiness? Mm-hmm. And that you put the skeletons back in the closet, you close that fucking door, you lock it, and you throw the fucking key at the bottom of the ocean. Never go back there. There's nothing there for you anymore. That is no longer who you are. Your frame of mind has changed and evolved so much that you probably wouldn't even recognize yourself today from who you were before. Mm-hmm. If you had a chance to step out and see who you are right now. Mm-hmm. All the shit that you've accomplished, don't backslide. Don't go backwards. Don't repeat old patterns or mistakes. There's another person that we know. Mm-hmm. I'm not very fond of this person anymore. This person had so many chances and so many years to get their shit together. So many chances to evolve their way of thinking, to change their life from shit into gold. And really, really do something and take the reins of life and go for it. They had all the time in the world to do this. Again, they're not me. They don't eat at my table. They don't shit in my fucking toilet. They don't pay my bills. Therefore, I'm not that invested in what happens to them. Mm-hmm. But the thought behind all of it is sickening, because this is a person that was talking mad shit about wanting to change again and talking about, I want this, I want that. And the minute that they weren't able to reach that because their goals were unrealistic and not practical, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that you shouldn't dream big, but let's be realistic in what we want here, mm-hmm. and who we are at the end of the day. Let's not talk a big game and inside we're a shivering bitch. Let's not do that. Uh-huh. Okay, and I'm not on one today. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to put the fucking work in, especially if you're doing months and months of work, to go back and to bring people back into your life that were part of your past out of sheer boredom or desperation, you fucked your whole timeline up.
All that work for nothing.
All that work for nothing, only to go back to repeat being a dumb fuck. That's what most people fucking do. This is your life. Have some respect for yourself. Have some fucking dignity and get up and either come into your power or reclaim your power. How much time and effort you put into yourself says a lot about who you are. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're putting all that time and effort in and you're dedicated, the minute the devil comes in to come knocking at your door, and you get scared and say, here, take it all. What a waste. What a waste. So again, if you are somebody that doesn't have it in you to make the changes that you need to make, again, I've said this before, no harm, no foul. You're just not ready to do the work yet, and you're just not ready to change your life around yet. But don't talk a big game and say all this shit, and the minute, like I said before, the minute opposition comes into play, you cower and you go back to the old you. Mm-hmm. You're not ready. Just admit that you were not ready. And I think society paints us in a light where, again, it's the weak versus the strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen strong people talk a good fucking game, and on the inside, they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's easy to always go back to what you know and fall back into that category and not experience new things here. And I feel like this person's holding themselves back and being lazy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's hard for people to actually commit to something, mm-hmm. especially changing their lifestyle, change the way they think. And like you said before.
But what's more important than you? What is more important than your happiness, your life? What's more important than that?
I guess they don't have the drive as much as other people do, you know, and it's harder, like you said before, it's hard to change a lifetime of thinking and the way they thought about themselves and the way they feel. And it's hard to break out of that mold.
But at some point, you either do it or you don't.
Yeah.
But be real with yourself. You have I've preached this all the time. You were born with everything that you need to survive in this lifetime. And you also accumulate new things into your tool belt of life.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You gain new experiences. You gain knowledge on things you had no idea how they worked before. You learn all this stuff here. Apply it. Take a step back. Dump everything out. I've been doing readings all week with people that were, I'm telling you, it's always the theme. You guys think I'm lying or joking about that, but it's the truth. This week was people that were coming into their power. These are people that are changing their thought process here. I've had 3 readings in a row where the person, I've read them before, these were follow-up calls, and I was like, wait a minute, there's something different about you. I wish I could name this one person. It's actually a male, and he knows who I'm talking, you know who I'm talking about out there. He is a, oh, I can't, I want to, but I can't. His energy shifted. It changed. I got on the phone with him. I was like, love, you feel different.
Mm-hmm.
I can call him love because
he's okay with it.
He's okay with it. I was like, you feel different. And he doesn't say, he knows the routine.
Uh-huh.
He's going to keep his mouth shut. He's going to test me. And I was like, there's just like a change. Your energy feels different. I feel like you are really starting to feel yourself. And he was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, things started to look up. I think he got a new job. He's wearing his confidence a little bit more. And I was like, you are going to get yourself in a relationship soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And be ready for that. I said, because this is what you've been wanting. Don't be afraid of it. And if you have questions or you need help or you feel like you're going to sabotage, fucking reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll snap you right the fuck out of it. It's going to be tough love, but love nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see you go and do it. We both were almost like, you know, I got a little emotional on the phone. And then one of my other clients called in and she was like, oh my God, things have just changed so much. And, you know, I'm doing this. I never felt better. And I was like, girl, I said, this reading that I'm giving you now, and I remember her. And she remembers the reading too. I didn't have very nice things to say to her in her first reading.
Yeah.
It was more of like, you're weak. Snap out of it.
Uh-huh.
And this was 2 years ago. This was like in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a different fucking person. Like she's wearing, I mean, there's something about her look that changed.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little bit more comfortable with her look. Like her face looks a little bit, when I say rested or it looks a little bit more refined, that hardness or that jadedness that a person carries around, you just tell, you know, it makes a hard face.
Yeah.
You know, people have been through shit. You see those faces. Mm-hmm. Her face changed. And I was like, you are so fucking beautiful right now. I was like, oh my God. And she was like, I am feeling it. She's like, I'm up for this. I'm, you know, I am doing this. I am putting the work in. I am blah, blah, blah. I said, that's all fine and dandy, love. I said, but here comes a little bit of doom and gloom. And she's like, I'm ready for it. I was like, it's not that bad. I was like, be prepared to be tested. I have a feeling you're going to pass this test
mm-hmm.
because you were going to, I'm getting goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to know that it is a test. And I have a feeling you're going to be wise about it. That could fuck her up because then when the test does come,
mm-hmm.
I can be in her head, but I had to. I was like, I want her to honor her power,
mm-hmm.
honor who she is in this moment, and get ready for big changes here. And she was like, I got it. I got it. I got it. And it, again, if you need help or you need anything or you just can't seem to move or get yourself out of first gear, hit me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like, fucking bitch, go out there and fucking do it. You got this. I'm not Tony fucking Robbins. I'm just more like, love, we've already been through this.
Yeah.
let's be real here. Snap out of it. Come back to me. Come back. You know?
Uh-huh.
That's what I want to do for people. I just want to keep them going here. I don't mind it if you call me and you're upset and you're bawling and you're breaking down. You're like, I can't do this. I will walk you through that.
Mm-hmm.
I will help you get up so that you can walk through this. I can't do the work for you, but I will never turn my back on you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing real fast. We're going to go into another topic right away here. Friends of people that are going through some shit.
Uh-huh.
Whenever someone's going through a transformation or a change, I always tell them, love, you need to go within. I think Lynn, our good friend Lynn from Oregon, mentioned the temple to me. She's always talking in like symbolisms and things like that. And I love the way she does astrology.
Mm-hmm.
But she had, and she does numerology too. Mm-hmm. So we did my chart one time and we were talking about the temple. She's like, this is like the, I'm seeing the temple for you. And you know, a temple has no windows. You can go in and out of it, but you can't see out of it. She's all, think of yourself as a temple. Go within, don't look out, and don't come out until you're ready. Your friends, your family, the people that fuck with you will back you up if they are true friends, and they will be there when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever someone's going through that transformation, they're like, you know what, my friends are blah, 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 I got this. Tune all that shit out. Because right now, they're not backing you up. They don't understand what it is that you're going through, and they're not understanding your process. And you shouldn't expect them to either. This is a very personal transformation and evolution for you. You do you, and you handle it the way that you should handle it. But I always tell people, back off from friends.
Mm-hmm.
If you're involved in a relationship, you can't back off from that relationship, but you can tell that person, I'm feeling some type of way. I need my space right now.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go within. And maybe that sounds a little harsh, but how do you tell somebody? I mean, they're going to take it the wrong way no matter what, or it's going to come across kind of like, I need to do me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, if you guys are real friends, you guys would respect each other's space, and like, you need that space to yourself.
Exactly. A lot of times, because people, friends of ours, they have miserable lives or they're self-sabotaging. I mean, it's fucked up to say that about a friend, but we all know them. We all know people that are self-sabotaging, that nail themselves to the cross all the time. It's always the woe is me type of energy here. They are well aware that they need to do something about it, that the only person that could fix it is them, but they're not in that fucking headspace right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of friends end up alienating these people or walking away from them or projecting their own fears and insecurities on that person and getting mad at them. That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
If you have nothing nice to say, here's what you do. There's a couple of people out there that are going through some shit that we know personally,
mm-hmm.
that there's nothing I can do for them psychically,
mm-hmm.
even as a friend. There's nothing that I'm going to say or do that's going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to turn my back on them. What I'm going to tell them is, love, there's nothing I can do for you right now. This is all you. I can no longer hear you self-sabotaging yourself or nailing you to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm around, you're going to have to refrain yourself from doing that. Because, again, I don't want to turn my back on you. But at the same time, what good is it do to bitch and complain about it, knowing that you have to fix it, but you're not doing anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to turn my back on you. And I'm definitely not going to kick you while you're fucking down.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had this conversation before. I think I mentioned this on the show, too. For as much shit as I talk and as direct and as bold as I am and willing to go toe-to-toe with people, I say what I need to say and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I allow that person to say what they're going to say and that's it. Either the beef is settled, or we continue to beef, but I'm not putting any more energy into you. That's it. I said my fucking thing. I walk away and I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep beating. I'm not going to keep doing that. And if you're down or whatever and we're having issues, I'm definitely not going to kick you while you're down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people really need to start setting boundaries with their friends and really telling them, look, I love you, but enough is enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not turning my back on you, but I can't see you do this to yourself because it breaks my heart. Be honest. Tell them,
mm-hmm.
and let them go. You're not getting rid of them for the rest of your life. You're letting them do you, and you're keeping your sanity at the same time too, and you're letting them know that you've set boundaries here, that you know that they're bigger and better than that, and you're not going to fall for their fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't fucking throw them out. You don't turn your fucking back on them.
Yeah.
Especially because they didn't do anything to you. They're just going through a really bad time, and they don't know how to handle certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I want to say, I mean, you already know that person's being weak. You already know that they don't have them in it to make the change, but you know you have it in you to make that change for yourself. Set the fucking boundaries. Be a real friend and tell them that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that your friend is going to get butthurt. And if they do, if they get mad and say like, fuck you or whatever, when they've had a chance to calm down and realize things and remember the conversation that you had with them and they play that back in their head, they'll come back around. Trust me. Because you didn't do anything malicious. And if they don't, fuck them.
Yeah.
I know. That's fucked up.
I mean, it's their problem. It's their decision to make it. And
don't make it your fucking problem.
Yeah.
So we had another conversation with somebody last night. And I promised I wasn't going to throw her under the bus. She's like, I need to get paid for all the examples that you used about me. I was like, fuck you. But we were talking, and she was talking about, this is from a 24-year-old. Okay.
Well, all your clients are like that age.
They're young, yeah. Oh my God, my life is so stressful. Oh my God, it's so fucking hard. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean your life is so hard? And she was like, you know, I just got this and blah, 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 this, you know, and then with work and all this other shit. And I was like, because you don't know how to set boundaries and set structure in your life. You are all over the place. You bring in too much feeling into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. And sometimes feelings are not required. Definitely you don't bring feelings into work at all. And we were talking about the issues that were going on at work or whatever. And I said, this is all your fault. And she's like, well, she's rude to me. She's horrible. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, she's the miserable fucking bitch. You know this already. Mm-hmm. You know that she's a miserable bitch. She treats you like shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it. That is her. All you can do is make sure that you're paying attention to what you're doing and you're not giving her any more ammunition to come and talk to you more than she has to.
Yeah.
But her treating you the way that she treats you shouldn't affect your home life, and it definitely shouldn't affect your relationship. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times what people do is they bring work home instead of leaving it there.
Yeah.
And these are people, like I've said before, you're there for 8 or 9 hours a fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you spend a good amount of time there, but that is not your home. These are not your fucking friends. Your boss is not your friend. Why are you taking everything that they say so personally? And again, you could leave that field and go play the game somewhere else, but you're playing the same game on a different field. So learn your lessons and buck the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, this girl was skating through it or whatever. And she's like, well, it's not my fault. And I was like, yes, it is your fault. I said, because you choose to allow her to do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to take on all that energy and make yourself feel bad and or depressed. Instead of realizing she's a miserable bitch. I'm in love with a great guy. I've got a great fucking life. I'm going away to Europe in a couple of weeks. You don't think about all the positive things that you have going on in your life. The first thing that comes into mind is all the negative shit. Snap the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's somebody else that you know is miserable, that they're just unhappy in their own life.
And they're just projecting.
My motherfucking ass would be shining like gold around this motherfucker. I'd be having my boo come in. I mean, let me just tell you something really fast too.
Uh-huh.
Side note here. When I worked in the insurance industry, I was dating that bastard back then. He was a Leo with a Taurus moon, but I love that type of combination because it's Leo and it's also Taurus, so very romantic and very showy. And I was working at a large insurance company at this time. It was the early 2000s, and you guys already know that I'm the bitch in the relationship. I'm not the bottom. I'm not always the bottom bitch, but I like to be the woman in the relationship. I like to be taken care of. And he really did not mind doing this. This is the guy that would buy me clothes every weekend or every time that we went out on a date. He'd bring a bag of clothes for me, brand new clothes for me to change into it and use this line. I've already seen you in that outfit.
Well, you gobbled it up.
I fucking loved it. So it was Valentine's Day. We ended up working at that same company together, but he got fired because they found something on his application that ended up not being true,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up getting fired. But it was Valentine's Day, and he had came in, and he had dropped off, when I say an urn, I hope I'm saying this right, people that do flower arrangements, they have these big-ass urns. They look like huge-ass fucking vases. This thing was probably bigger than my fucking... It was huge. It was like the size of like two basketballs together.
Oh, wow.
And he had put an arrangement of flowers of his own in there for me. He knows that I love white flowers. So he put this whole white bouquet together. He also got a gift bag
mm-hmm.
filled with Godiva chocolates and all name brand chocolates and a card and all this other stuff there. And even another couple of small bouquets of flowers that were in the tiny little glass vases. So when I walked in, my desk was just like, and there was balloons. The girls... Now, mind you, I'm gay, and I loved working at this insurance company because these girls were ghetto as fuck, and they were my fucking girls. We had a really good time. They had came by, and they were fucking hating in a good way on me. They were like, girl, you need to write a book on how to get your man to treat you so fucking well. Blah, 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 this or whatever. And I was fucking eating it up, and I was using the phrase, we talked about this before, to Wong Fu, where he goes, carry yourself like a queen and you will attract a king.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I said to them, and they were fucking dying. So again, knowing that, and I had this one boss there that was, I hated this bitch. She was, how can I say this? I am obviously Mexican. I don't speak Spanish. I understand it almost fully, and I can get away with speaking some of it. but it sounds weird. That's why I never try to speak it. And whenever I pronounce Latin last names or whatever, I do it the good old fucking, you know,
American way,
yeah, because I'm afraid that someone's going to call me out on my accent. So this woman was talking mad shit to me in Spanish all the time about the Filipinos that work there, the black girls that work there, and she was being really, really racist with me. Mm-hmm. And we were walking down the hallway one day, and she asked me in Spanish, "How come every time I tell you something in Spanish, you always answer me back in English?" And I was like, "Because I don't speak Spanish." I understand it, but I don't speak it. She hated that.
And she looked at you all.
She's an older Mexican lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's disrespectful. I don't know. But I could learn it if I wanted to. But my mother's mother was born here. My mother was born here. I was born here. We don't speak Spanish in our family.
Uh-huh.
Hardly ever. I mean, only to talk shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know all the bad words to it. So she ended up getting into it with me and ignoring me and being kind of shitty towards me, whatever. And I picked up on that energy. So going back to where I was telling our friend about Shining, whatever, I would fucking flaunt my shit all around the office. I was good at what I did. Mm-hmm. I came in where this dumb fuck that had my position before, I was a recovery specialist.
Uh-huh.
So I would recoup. The company that I worked for was their own insurance company. So any out of area claims that came in, I was responsible for paying and getting a discount through the different discounts that we have here. And I ended up saving, I'm not kidding you, I saved them $2 million in the time that I was there doing that position.
Oh, wow.
Where the person before was saving them anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000.
Oh, wow.
And you know what I got in return for that?
A gift card.
A $25 gift card to Macy's. I was like, I don't get a quarter of that fucking shit that I saved you. But anyways, I was killing it there. So I was telling our friend that, go in there, take it upon yourself to learn and absorb everything that you have to learn at work. So that way you don't have to ask people.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you're efficient and it looks like you're a go-getter and it just makes you look good.
Yeah.
Also, too, remember the fact that you're involved in a relationship. You got a good boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great relationship. You're getting ready to leave the country for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking shining to everybody else here, but you don't see it. Snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
You constantly live with this dark cloud over your head and it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that type of lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my advice when it comes to people like that is, again, take a step back. Stop nailing yourself to the fucking cross. And really, is it that fucking bad? Are you bleeding to death on a daily basis? Is there someone slapping the shit out of you every fucking day as soon as you wake up? No. You create your own fucking hell.
Yeah.
And start making your way towards heaven and see what it's like out there.
That's a good point.
And start doing you. Stop fucking making excuses for yourself as to why you're stuck in the same lane all the time here. That is all you. It's nobody else. I'm not going to let you. And I told this person yesterday, because she kept going on and trying. She wasn't battling me, but mm-hmm. she's like, "No, that's not true." She's like, "It's her." I was like, "No, it is you." Do you want to talk about what did you get from that?
It's true.
Because, hold on, before you go there, you had told me, God, you came in like a sledgehammer instead of like a hammer.
Yeah.
And I told you, with these types of people like that, no matter if I came in there and was like, "Love, you know, you really, really do got to do a good job of like getting out of that."
Mm-hmm.
Denied it. She would have denied it right then and there. She would have had an issue with it. Coming across hard is the only way that I know how to do it, is because it snaps them the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I told her this before you go there. I told her, there's nothing that you are going to tell me that's going to change my mind, because I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And I see right fucking through you. This is all you. You created this yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's absolutely true. And like you said, sometimes people need to be shaken up that way,
mm-hmm.
because saying it nicely or politely isn't enough to push them in that right direction.
Exactly.
You came in like a sledgehammer, and sometimes people need a sledgehammer, you know?
I'm just tired of hearing excuses. I mean, look at all that we've been through over the last 4 fucking years. All the fucking balancing that I've had to do and all the lessons that I've gone through. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get to eat shit with me because we're a team.
Yeah.
But let's be real here, and I'm not gassing myself up. Never once did I fall. I mean, that last August was brutal, and you cannot blame me for wanting to...
Feeling the way you felt.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys, I mean, I'd love to share everything with you, but there's just some things that are just so personal and so, you guys would probably think, Jesus Christ, I'm surprised that you're still standing if I told you everything that went on within those last 4 years. But again, I knew something bigger and better was coming. It's not because I'm a psychic and I know all that stuff. I just know that all these lessons were coming for a reason. And I always say this, give me all the bad stuff first. I want to get through this. So that way I can relax with all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, ever take the responsibility away from myself. I never blame other people unless they really, really do me dirty,
mm-hmm.
or they do something
that's malicious.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, again, it's how I choose to handle it that makes all the fucking difference in the world. Exactly. Do I get rid of these fucking people? Or do I let them, you know, keep doing what they're doing?
Mm.
And at this point, like I said, I'm getting rid of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's just that's got an excuse or that's just not willing to fucking move. Again, or these are that are personal to me, not my clients or anything like that. Mm-hmm. People that are personal to us.
You're putting up your own boundaries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing I can do. And if you're gonna wallow in your own self-pity and you're gonna fucking beat yourself up here, knowing that you're fucking better than that, if I can't fucking make you see that, and you definitely can't see that in yourself, you need time to yourself.
Yeah.
So this is going to lead me down another topic, and then I think we're going to be good with this episode. I want to talk about people dating weaker people.
Oof.
Okay? Ladies, gentlemen, if you guys are going after people that are not as strong as you are or that are not emotionally equipped the way that you are or just have excess baggage with them and you feel like you can take them under your wing, nurture them, and care for them, you are mistaken. That I've never ever seen that happen here. As much as you want to go into this relationship with good intention and that you want to help this person out and you want to be that support system, what's going to happen when you need that for yourself? When you need that from your partner who's so used to you nurturing and taking care of them all the time that when it comes time for you, they're not going to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going to end up happening during that time is resentment's going to set in on your end because the first thing that you're going to fucking do is tell them, well, I'm always there for you. I'm always there to support you when you're going through some shit, but you can't do that for me. And your words will always haunt me, even though you didn't use it in this context. I never asked you to.
Mm-hmm.
You did that because you wanted to.
Yeah. You're a very nurturing person.
I understand that, and I am aware of that, and I know that about myself, and I told you this when it comes to this relationship here. I want it to be a good balance, but I'm also looking for more of, and this is not because I want to be taken care of or pampered here, but I've spent so much time in all my relationships taking care of people, molding them, guiding them, that I need that. I need that comfort there. Mm-hmm. I need that stability, and I need that strength from that person to kind of be like, you're good or whatever, and just, you know, don't work so hard, whatever. Just be there to listen to me.
Uh-huh.
Be that type of dominant energy or that type of strength,
strong energy
mm-hmm. to let me know that, again, this is a partnership here, that when I'm down, you're going to pick me up. And you know for sure that when you're down, I'm going to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
But stop going after weak-minded people because, again, at the end of the day, what they're looking for is to be taken care of all the time. And again, you're not going to, as you start to grow and you start to evolve and you start to, I mean, 4 years into the relationship and they're still bitching about the same thing over and over again and they haven't made any progress. You're going to feel trapped in that fucking relationship. And then what's going to end up happening is you're not going to have the heart to leave them because guess what's going to come into play? I would die if you ever left me. And people start feeling guilty for that shit. Uh-uh. Do yourself a favor. Like, again, you can be there. You can be a good friend here, but don't bring that into your relationship. It's one thing to have it happen while you're in the relationship where something goes wrong and you're there for that person to help them out. But to go into a relationship with knowing that person's already weak or they're already struggling with shit here.
Mm-hmm. Like you're just trying to save them?
You're not their fucking savior.
Mm-hmm.
You're not their life force. That is their job and their responsibility. You could really, really be nurturing a really, really good relationship instead of wasting your time on somebody that's looking to be taken care of and that wants somebody to live their life for them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in that shit. As much as you want to feel bad for them, don't. Because they have every opportunity to correct their lives. They just choose not to. And I'm really, really not into excuses this week. I'm not. But when people tell me that, again, I know there's people out there that have been through way worse than them, that are starving right now, that they're watching people die right next to them on a daily basis here.
Mm-hmm.
My problems are yay big compared to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But I always take responsibility for my own actions, my own life, and what I bring to the table. I am well aware of who I am and what I'm capable of doing here.
Yeah.
Because I've invested that time and energy into myself. And I've overcome and I beat things that were thrown in my fucking way. It was it easy? No. Did I fall down? Yes. How many times did you pick me up?
I don't know. It didn't seem like I had to.
Well, you were there to listen though.
Mm-hmm.
You knew, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's different. It's one thing to talk about our friendship here, but you knew how strong I was.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, you would just be there as like a support system, mm-hmm. but you never did anything for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be truthful here. When I talk about sitting on our pity pot for a couple days, I sit on it for 2 days, then I'm up.
Yeah.
I have to. Even when I'm sick. Even when I'm sick, with that time that I had the flu,
oh,
I don't have time to be sick because yeah. I know you're going to get sick right next.
Yeah.
So I have to fucking get things going. I have to heal myself. I have to go within rest, take the time that I need to get myself together. Mm-hmm. People, start doing that for yourselves. Stop relying on other people. Here's another thing too. If you're going to seek the services from somebody that's book smart, here's another problem too. I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
They lack the fucking experience.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you a textbook remedy on what to do, but they've never felt that emotion or had to go through what you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling this to Michelle Prentice and to you about, we've been through some fucking shit to let people know, I know exactly what you're going through.
The feeling and the emotions.
The feeling and the emotion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, surround yourself with people that are, again, it's so fucked up to say, but I mean, like a level up than you, because then you have someone to look up to, or somebody to seek advice from, or that you can bounce things off of here. Don't, you know, why would you want to be, I'm not saying that you should get rid of all your friends that are emotional here, but why would you want to be around people that are in the same boat as you when it comes to feelings and emotion and emotions? That boat's going to fucking sink. There's nobody there that's got a clear head to pick up a fucking oar and start paddling towards fucking shore.
Mm-hmm.
They're all fucking scrambling around as the boat's starting to fucking sink. Nobody's jumping out trying to fucking swim or sitting on the fucking hole to get it covered up. Everyone's freaking out.
Misery loves company. All right.
Take a step back. Reclaim yourself. Center yourself. Get your head on fucking straight. Even if that means taking 2 days to fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes all the fucking difference in the world. Right?
Yeah.
So that's my take on sabotaging yourself for somebody that's already self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Get the fuck out of that boat. Be the wise one. Start swimming towards shore and really, really coming out of it. Don't sink with the rest of the boat.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that topic.
It's true.
So let's jump into some of the stuff that is coming up. So I've got three really good things coming up this month. I have, I'm going to give you just a little bit. I can't tell you all of it. I just got done doing an amazing podcast with, I was on their podcast with probably one of the funniest women around right now,
mm-hmm.
or just in general. I mean, yeah. I love this girl. I got an opportunity to do it with her, do the podcast with her. It was amazing. Can't wait to tell you all about that. I also get to meet somebody next week that I've been dying to fucking meet. And I'm also going to do another show on July 2nd for somebody out in New York that I'm excited to do as well. And then I got an appearance the 11th of July.
Yep.
And this is a televised appearance. Well, it's live. They're filming me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is shaping up to be a really, really good July. I was talking to my other good astrologer friend, Lynn, who is doing all my progressions, my solar return, my natal chart, my transits, and telling me all this great stuff that was coming into play. I had told them way before, even at the beginning of this year, that July seems to be a really good month for me. I'm excited for it. And it's been nothing but fucking exciting. And it hasn't even hit July yet. We're mm-hmm. still in fucking June. I got all this shit booked up for July. My readings are off the fucking hook. I'm getting more and more here. You guys, take it from me again. You can always change your life around. You do not always have to be that same fucking person. You can do whatever it is that you want with your life and become the person that you truly want to become without any restrictions, without any hesitation, or without people pointing the fucking finger at you or making you feel bad about it. Tune all that shit out. Turn that focus inward and start going towards a life that you want to truly fucking live here. Again, there is nobody holding us back but ourselves. Do not be self-sabotaging. Take the first step. Again, do not map out steps 5 through 7 until you've taken at least step 1 first. You have to do that. Stop talking yourself out of it. Stop doing the whole woe is me, what if this, what if that. It can't be any worse than you're feeling fucking right now. I mean, truly and honestly here, get up and do something about it. And if you need help or you need guidance or you're not sure how to do that or you want more insight as to what's really holding you back, hit me up for a reading. You guys know how to get a hold of me. Sign up for that half-hour session or an hour-long session, but I really, truly, honestly recommend the half-hour session first. And if we need more time, we can definitely go into that. But sign up for your session at chrismedina.guide. Let's find out what's holding you back, what's preventing you, what your fucking excuse is as to why you're not moving, and let's take care of it. Let's get that out of your fucking life and have you living the life that you truly want to live. For those of you wanting to know more about the event that's coming up this September, wanting to know more about what I'm doing, who I'm reading, who I'm hanging out with, or just what's going on in my life, feel free to visit my social media handles at Psychic Chris M. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Psychic Chris M. Feel free to hit me up, message me, let me know what's going on. I am loving all these messages that I'm getting from people. So many people reaching out and just fucking telling me about them, telling me about their experiences here. I love connecting with people. Do not be shy. Drop a dime. Say hi. For those of you wanting to add topics for the show or want me to go over things for the show or have questions about my ability or about your ability as well too or anything psychic, metaphysical, or spiritual, feel free to email me those questions at askinyourhead@gmail.com. That's askinyourhead@gmail.com. I don't care what it is. Nothing is too taboo. Well, wait a minute. Maybe a couple of things are taboo, but again, you put it out there, I'll let you know. But yeah, feel free to hit me up and let me know what's going on. Let me know what you want to talk about or what's going on in your mind here or things that you've experienced that maybe you just don't want to have a real reading on, that you just want insight on for the show. Fucking let me know. I'll put that out there for you and we can talk about that. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end it here.
Mm-hmm.
It just flew by, right?
It went by really quick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to have you on for the rest of cancer season. Not as my crutch. But I think that it's fair. And I think it's good. I love the energy.
Sounds good.
So this is Chris Medina with my partner in crime, my bestie, Jay, with In Your Head Podcast saying we are out.
Bye.